Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation and Stonyfield Farm.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman in for Steve Curwood. Talk about hitting the ground running. Candidate Barack Obama promised change, and change is now definitely in the air. The new president quickly put climate change and the nation's dependence on oil near the top of his agenda.
I want to be clear from the beginning of this administration that we have made our choice. America will not be held hostage to dwindling resources, hostile regimes, and a warming planet.
Living on Earth's Washington correspondent Jeff Young joins me to analyze the flurry of environmental action. And Jeff, the president really put the pedal to the metal.
That's a good term, since we're dealing with cars here. And, you know, not just the president, but also the new Congress. There was a lot of action on Capitol Hill. I think the climate has changed here, the climate change.
Okay, we're going to stop that. But what do these two executive orders that the president signed mean for the kinds of cars and trucks we'll be driving?
Well, it should mean that we'll have more fuel-efficient vehicles to choose from over the coming decade. The minimum goal here is for the carmaker's overall fleet to average 35 miles per gallon by 2020. What Obama signed put into motion the rules so that we should start seeing those higher mileage cars with the 2011 model year. Now, the second thing he did is much more controversial. That has to do with letting states regulate the greenhouse gases that come out of tailpipes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what California had wanted permission to do, but the Bush administration said no.
Yeah, last March, the head of Bush's EPA said no to that request, even though his own staff lawyers and scientists said we should say yes to this. Now, Obama's EPA is going to have another look, and it's almost a foregone conclusion they'll say yes this time that California can regulate auto emissions. 13 other states say they will follow suit. That means, could mean, that roughly half the U.S. auto market would then require those higher mileage cars much faster, about 4 years sooner.
And I don't think anyone was surprised by Detroit's response to this.
Oh, they hate this idea of letting the states take the lead here. The auto industry's already gone to court to try to block that. And most observers say they expect the industry to sue again if California and the other states proceed.
But now, didn't the government just give GM and Chrysler a $23 billion bailout check?
Yeah, our dollars. That's right. And, you know, I talked with Charlie Torito about that. He's a spokesperson for the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers. And here's an exchange from that conversation.
We think that the best way to achieve higher fuel economy for the entire fleet is through a single national standard and not a state-by-state patchwork.
Part of the sales pitch when you guys came to Capitol Hill was, we want to make greener, cleaner cars. If you want to make greener, cleaner cars, why are you taking our money to fight lawsuits against it?
Well, you know, those lawsuits are there to protect the industry. And there is room for cooperation. And I think that in the next few months, we'll be looking forward to working closely with the Obama administration and explaining to them the wisdom of a single national standard.
So the car makers are basically saying they want to cooperate, but they're not dropping those lawsuits.
Yeah, this is something they're going to fight over. Industry says they need more lead time to introduce those higher mileage cars. Also, the state standards don't let them average things out over a broad national fleet. And they fear that would mean they wouldn't be able to sell their more profitable vehicles in those states. And for the most part, those are the light trucks, which don't get as good mileage. Mm-hmm. So the industry is going to push for that one national standard. The states and their environmental allies will push for the state standards to become the norm. And in the backdrop, of course, you've got the whole industry teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. It's not at all clear to me how this is going to play out exactly.
Well, let me change gears a little bit here, Jeff. Former Vice President Al Gore was also in D.C. this past week, and he was delivering some inconvenient truths.
The return of the Goracle, we call it here. He spoke to the Senate's Foreign Relations Committee about the next big international climate change talks. They're coming up at the end of the year in Copenhagen.
Mm-hmm. But the Bush administration refused to sign on to the last international agreement, the Kyoto Accords. And, you know, what does Mr. Gore think it will take to get us on board with a new climate agreement?
Well, like a lot of people who work on this, Gore says the U.S. first needs its own domestic controls on greenhouse gas emissions, a cap-and-trade system to limit CO2. Now, that's still very tough politically, even with a new president and new Congress. What I found interesting in Gore's remarks is he thinks that this economic recovery package that Congress is working on right now, he thinks that's the first step on that path toward a global warming agreement.
The plan's unprecedented and critical investments in four key areas: energy efficiency, renewables, a unified national energy smart grid, and the move to clean cars, represent an important down payment and are long overdue.
Now, Gore's talking there about the House version of the Economic Recovery Act. It passed the House. It has about $80 billion for clean energy and efficiency, clean cars and mass transit. The Senate's bill, not so much. The full Senate takes up the bill next. Gore says he's not as happy with the version that's emerging there. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's going to fight to preserve the greener elements that the House put in.
But no matter what the bottom line is, we're talking huge bucks here, Jeff.
Oh, it's mind-blowing. You know, the House version came in at $819 billion. The Senate's version could go as high as $900 billion. We don't know quite yet. It's just mind-blowing. And, you know, watching these developments with the auto industry and the government getting involved with this enormous government investment in the economic recovery, you really get the sense that the center of gravity of power in this country has shifted. Detroit and Wall Street have stumbled badly. They're broke. Washington and the Treasury is the only place now with real power and real money. We don't know how all this is going to play out exactly with cars and the way we get our electricity, but however it happens, it's going to happen here.
Well, we're glad you're there, Jeff. Living on Earth's Washington correspondent, Jeff Young. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
You're welcome.